According to a study in this week's Medical Journal of Australia, our organ donation rate could be increased by around 30% if all potential donors in a relatively new category were identified and the families asked. That's a lot of people who could avoid dying on a waiting list for lungs or a heart or kidneys. One of the authors of the paper is Professor David Pilcher, an intensive care specialist at the Alfred Hospital here in Melbourne. Welcome to the Health Report, David.
Thank you, Norman.
We're still way behind a lot of other countries, aren't we, in organ donation rate?
Australia does lag behind other countries, but in recent years, particularly with the efforts that have been put into the sector by Donate Life following a funding boost in 2009, Australia's donation rates have increased, and we've gone from sort of sitting in the 20s to up in the high teens now. I think we're 14.
In terms of the league.
If there was going to be a league table, it's a shame that we have to have a league table for something like this.
But it's good to give you a target.
Yeah.
And Donate Life is the government organisation that oversees organ donation in Australia and tries to encourage more. But you're aiming for a target, I think, of, because you advised Donate Life, we should declare, of 25 per, what's the metric?
Donors per million population.
And we're at about 16 at the moment. So it's a long way to go in 1 year.
We're more like about the 20 mark at the moment.
We're almost
21. Yeah, 16 was what we were in 2014. So we've actually moved on a bit and continue to move up.
You should have told the editors at the Medical Journal of Australia, because that's what's in your paper. So we're not doing too bad. Tell me about this new category of donor, relatively new category of donor.
It's a sort of new old category is what it is. Most donors are brain dead donors.
So they've been in a motorcycle accident, a road crash,
absolutely.
Like
and they're
that.
People with a terrible brain injury. Who are declared brain dead, but their circulation remains intact because they're still on a ventilator and their heart remains pumping blood around the body. And it's a more controlled situation to then sort of organise a donation process after that. What we've looked at is
But also difficult for the family because the heart's still beating.
It's
psychologically.
It's a difficult situation to explain to the family. Because it's not death in the way that most people in the public understand death. Most people understand death as the circulation stopped and the heart stopped. The donors that we're looking at in this study are actually people who die in the way that the public considered normal death.
Your heart stops beating.
The heart stops beating, and then the person's body is taken round to theatre and the donation surgery happens after the heart stops.
The heart stops beating. Now, what sort of circumstances... give me a sense of what sort of person, what sort of situation allows you to take an organ from somebody whose heart stops beating?
Yeah. there's probably sort of two groups. One, the patients who've got severe brain injuries, but they're not brain dead. And you know through doing tests on them, getting people in to examine them, that this person isn't going to recover. And they've got some very vestigial brain reflex left, but nothing else. And in that sort of situation, you have the discussion with the family and would decide with them that we're going to take them off the cardiorespiratory support, off the ventilator, and the person passes away after that. The other group of patients are people who have got a disease of one organ. And for instance, they might have chronic lung disease and they're dying from their terrible lung disease, but they've got kidney function that's perfect. And you're doing the same sort of thing. You're discussing end-of-life care with the family. And what we can do now is actually offer donation to these families, to these individuals, and give them the opportunity to help people after death, which wasn't there when we only looked at brain-dead donation.
What about cancer?
Cancer is one of the... There's not many absolute contraindications to donation. Widespread cancer is. There are a few cancers actually where it's okay to donate, particularly localised, say, prostate cancer, for instance. But in general, particularly cancer that's spread throughout the body is a contraindication. You can't be a donor.
So what happens? I mean, if the heart stops beating and you then go to, and the family says yes, and it's a controlled situation where you know it's going to happen. So this is not something that happens at home. This is happening in a hospital, how long have you got? Presumably the heart, you've only got a few minutes.
Yeah, for a heart, you've only got a few minutes. There's a long period in the run-up to it as well. So actually one of the difficulties with this is that you've got to identify someone who's the right kind of person. So you have to pick someone who you're pretty sure that they're actually not going to survive. You've got to identify them as having an organ that's potentially suitable for donation and transplantation. You've got to be able to support them long enough, and you've got to predict roughly when you think they're going to die and have those discussions. And then after that, once the heart stops, there's only a very short period where you've got to take them to theatre to do the donation surgery.
But I think you argue in your paper, really, it's mostly lung donation and kidney donation that allows that sort of flexibility.
Absolutely. When we looked at the patient groups that we had information for, it was mainly donors of kidneys and lungs.
So I've spent all this time explaining and not leaving enough time to talk about your study, but essentially your study looked at the missed opportunity here in patients such as this.
Yes, it did. I mean, this is a growing field, and there's a greater recognition that people can donate through this pathway. And what Australia's lucky, because it's got a good system for measuring the information about people that die in hospitals, and it gave us the opportunity to look to see what the potential is. No other country has been able to do that
before. So what is the potential?
When we looked at it, across the 2.5 years, there were about 500 people that met those criteria to be a donor. And if you think about 60% of them would have said yes. So that comes down to roughly a bit over 100 extra donors per year is the estimate that we think.
And how many donations are we getting at the moment a year?
At the moment, last year, there were just over 500 donations. Most of them, about 75% of them were brain dead, 25% were DCD, this type of donation.
So what would you like to see that percentage of DCDs going up to?
Yes. Look, I think a reasonable percentage to aim to would be somewhere around the 40-45% mark. And that's theoretically possible by identifying all of these people.
So if you produce these new organs, it's still small numbers really compared to other countries. Can transplant units cope? Some of them are getting pretty busy at the moment.
Yeah, it's a good question, actually. It's a really good question.
As the numbers go up.
A lot of the actual resources that have been put into donation have been put into the identification and the process around donation. The flow-on effect from being successful is that you've got lots of transplants, and lots of transplants need lots of looking after and need resources. It's one of the things that we're seeing with the success of the increase in donors recently is it has put pressure on transplant units to provide resources to look after recipients. It's better having it that way around than the other way around.
It's a nice problem to have, but we're going to have to look at it a bit more closely.
Absolutely, it's important.
David, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Professor David Pilcher is an intensive care specialist at the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne.